It's time for Sounding Off with Phil Goff.
Morena, Phil, how are you?
Te marie, Rachel. Really good, thank you.
That's good. Hey, we're talking about a bunch of different things this morning, but I thought a good thing to start with would be what was just really recently announced about Auckland Council going to vote on free weekend public transport for under 15s. Do you want to tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah. It's a proposal that I'll include in my mayoral proposal that will go to Council next week. And I would imagine that most councillors would be supportive of it, maybe not all. But look, I think any of us, you know, when we're out in the weekend, when we look at the buses and we look at the trains and we see that, you know, they're a quarter full, if that, and we think, gosh, there's a whole lot of unused capacity there.
Mm.
How can we get more people to use our trains and our buses on the downtime and the weekends? And the answer is, you know, from our view, and also I think Auckland Transport's, is that if we were to make it free for kids under 15 to travel by train or bus on the weekends, you know, that may encourage families, for example, families that may be low income, they might not have a car, or families that simply, you know, if you're paying for each of the kids, that might be a disincentive to using the bus or the train to go to the zoo, to go to the museum, to go to the beach. So why not use that unutilised capacity and allow kids to get on free? Their parents obviously pay their fares, pay for the parents' fares. But I think it's a great way of socialising young people into, hey, look, public transport is reliable, it's safe, it's regular, and it's a good way of helping get that mode shift so that people look at the alternatives of using public transport and not just, hey, if we want to go anywhere, we've got to take the car. So I think there's a whole lot of things going for it. It's estimated by Auckland Transport to probably lift the usage in the weekends and on public holidays by 1.1 million passenger trips a year, and that's in conjunction with another change that I'm recommending, so that when you use the ferry, your trip to the ferry by bus and your trip by bus from the ferry are included in the zone, so it will be cheaper for people using the ferry than to go on and use other public transport.
So this sounds like a really great initiative, Phil, but what I'm kind of curious about is why just limit it to under 15s, for example? So why not have students in that catch-all? Because students, as well, as everybody knows, it's a very expensive part of your student budget is your transport to and from uni or just around Auckland as well as a city, and it's quite unusual even for students to have cars if they're living centrally, that kind of thing too. So why limit it to just under 15s and not have some sort of concession for students as well?
Yeah, well, there's a 20% concession to students at the present time, and we have looked at whether we can over time adjust that, and I'd like to be able to do that, but essentially it's a budget matter. In terms of what we've proposed and the two changes that I've announced that will go to council next week, that has a cost of just over $1 million. We've looked at a range of alternatives for students, for people that are on low incomes benefits. And the challenge that we've got at the moment is that the cost per annum of that, you know, runs into the millions and millions of dollars. And in the wake of the extra expenditure that we're putting into the City Rail Link, we are really constrained in terms of our budget at the moment. So we've started with something that we think is affordable. That doesn't mean that that's where we'll end.
Okay.
I think in due course we will go on. We'll try to do more to help students, more to help those on low incomes in terms of use of public transport. Great idea. We've just got to come up with the dosh to be able to fund it.
All right. Thanks, Phil. Another thing I'd quite like to talk about is the government's allocated a lot of money, $197 million, through their budget to tackle homelessness. What's that going to mean for Auckland as a city? Because we obviously have a really big problem with it here.
Yeah, absolutely. And I came out in the weekend with a strong the statement of welcome for the government's putting a whole lot more money into homelessness. At the moment, council works with five housing agencies, which we call Housing First, and that's the model that the government has chosen to fund. What Housing First does is it says, you know, you've got a lot of people sleeping rough in the streets and sleeping in cars. You're not going to be able to solve their problem when they're on the streets. The first thing you've got to do is get them into a warm, dry, affordable, stable home, And then that's not the last thing you do. You've then got to tackle the problems that led them to being homeless in the first instance. And those problems, more often than not, are around issues like mental health and drug and alcohol addiction. So what we've been doing with Housing First is, in the last 21 months, we've housed 922 people. That's a lot of people. Just under half of those are kids. So these are families that have often been sleeping in cars because they had no alternative place to go.
Mm-hmm.
And the great thing about Housing First, because we provide the support services afterwards, we use private accommodation as well as state-provided accommodation, overwhelmingly people are still in their homes a year later, you know, over 85% of them. So the myth that, oh, people are sleeping rough because that's what they want to do, you know, you can prove that wrong on our figures. Now, what the government funding means is that we'll be able to do a whole lot more of the work that we're already doing, and we'll be able to lift the number of people that we can get out of rough sleeping into homes, out of emergency accommodation into homes, out of cars and into homes, and we can start to deal with the blight that homelessness is on our city.
Fantastic. And the last thing I think I want to talk to you about today is Auckland's waste bylaw. So this is a kind of a, I think maybe a few people won't have heard about this so much, but it's part of the looking towards getting a zero waste future for Auckland. So there's a few things that are sort of coming up for expiry this year to do with the solid waste bylaw 2012. Could you explain a bit about that? Because even I'm a little bit at sea about some of that.
Yeah. I'm not sure I'm the expert on the waste bylaw either, but what we are doing is a range of things. We live in a society that is incredibly wasteful and is very good at dumping its rubbish in landfills and dumping its its byproducts into the ocean, causing the massive problem we have with plastics in the oceans. So there's a range of things that we're doing. They range from the trial that we've run on food scraps, and that's been running on the North Shore for a number of years, they're going to probably in the new budget year, if council votes this way, to start paying for that service. In Papakura, we're trialling it where people are paying for the service, because food waste is a big percentage of what goes into landfill and causes methane problems. We're working with the government at the moment and the minister in terms of saying we've got a real problem since China has closed off accepting recycling. We've lost our markets for recycling. It's costing a whole lot more to deal with plastics and all of that. But one of the biggest problems is that you mentioned, but that to start off with, was trade waste, which is about 80% of all of our waste is commercial waste, and we have to deal with that. We need things like product stewardship schemes, so that when you buy a tyre, the price you pay for the tyre pays for the cost of disposal of it, because too many people are saying, oh, we can't, it costs money to get rid of our used tyres, so we'll just dump them over the bank, we'll dump them into the stream. The same thing with soft drink bottles. We'd love to have a container deposit scheme, because that shows that where you've got it in a place like South Australia, you get about 80% return recycling,
mm-hmm.
whereas we get about 40%. So there's all of that on top of the basic waste management bylaw that's being considered at the moment. So, yeah, there's a big agenda there. And unfortunately, there's also a price tag on what we do. But we cannot. We've got to have what's called a circular economy. We can't just keep dumping stuff in a way that feeds its way into the ocean and goes into landfill and never biodegrades, because it's not biodegradable. So big challenges, but we're focused on that. We're focused on making a difference, and right at the front of the process is, how can we stop people using particularly plastic content unnecessarily? How can we cut down on packaging?
Yeah.
Getting rid of plastic bags, that's something I campaigned on last time. That's now happened. Getting rid of plastic straws, that's easy enough. You can have paper straws. Recycling your coffee cups. There's a whole lot of things that people can do, as well as council and government.
So it's
but
not
we've
just,
all got to work together.
It's not just necessarily about these changing laws. It's also about changing attitudes as well. But I guess the leadership in that can also come from council and come from government on those things as well.
And changing attitudes are are changing. You know, it's great to see now people are picking up on things like, you know, we can't just keep wiping out fish life and mammals. And seabirds that, you know, when you cut them open, you find them dead, cut them open, they've got a stomach full of plastics. Hey, we've got to change the way that we're living so it becomes
sustainable. Hey, thank you very much, Phil, for chatting to us this morning.
Thanks, Rachel. Always
have a good
pleasure.
Day. Cheers.
Catch up with you. Cheers.
Bye. That was Sounding Off with Phil Goff.